This interview is being filmed in the library of Vancouver City College, Langara campus. With me here are two men who have a strong interest in the events of the Winnipeg General Strike of 1919. This first gentleman and socialist here is Mr. William Pritchard, who was active as a leader in that strike. The other gentleman who is over here with me is Mr. Norman Penner, who has recently edited a book called Winnipeg 1919, which consists primarily of the story of the Winnipeg strike as told by the strikers. The book was published this year by James, Lewis, and Samuel in Toronto. I might add here that the events of the next few days with Mr. Pritchard and Mr. Penner were set in motion by the publication of the book and by a review of the book, which I wrote and which was published in the Vancouver Sun about 2 months ago. Most of the events of the next few days were arranged by Mrs. McLachlan of the Social Sciences Department of Vancouver City College. But we're here to talk about the book. Mr. Penner, would you tell us just how you came to write the book?
Well, I knew that there was in the historical treatment of the strike a blank space that there had been written a striker's account of the strike, and I felt that I had long felt that should be made available to the public. And I found it one night in the dusty shelves of a library of one of my friends, and with the help of York University and the Canada Council, we decided to publish it and make this available so that all sides of the story of the Winnipeg General Strike would become known to the public.
Just how long was this under publication? I think you had a few difficulties with publication.
Well, first of all, in deciding what of the material, which part of the material that was available should go into the book. There was some disagreement with the readers of the Canada Council as to whether we should print Pritchard's speech or Dixon's speech. We only had room for one. We decided on Pritchard's speech finally because we felt that his dealt with a wider perspective than the strike alone and put the strike trials in their proper perspective. Dixon was, of course, a participant in the Winnipeg General Strike. And as you know, Mr. Pritchard just wandered into Winnipeg to address a meeting and was arrested became a figure of the strike without having anything to do with it.
Is that what happened, Mr. Pritchard?
That's right. I was 4 days, I think, there. And on the matter of the story of the strike as written by the Defense Committee, no one would claim that it is a literary gem. But it was created by working men, and as you noted, several hands were in this pie. It had to be done in a hurry, and the job was set out. I think I have some piece in there somewhere dealing with the publications that were banned under the censorship. Mm-hmm. That's about all the contribution I made to it. Mm-hmm. And I also noted my peculiar literary architecture, and that's, I can pick it out now.
You know, you say, Mr. Penner, that this was written by the strikers. Now, just who were these? Now, you mentioned the Defense Committee.
Well, they were members of the Trades and Labor Council, mm-hmm. from different unions. They formed the Defense Committee to raise funds for defense, and this was one way of doing it and telling the story.
Right.
So it may appear disjointed, but it's factual. Mm-hmm. I'll bank on that.
Just on that point, there's one reference in the striker's account which seems to have been written in the penitentiary. The writer refers to the view that he's getting from the penitentiary walls. And so it must have been some of the men that were incarcerated, because they were incarcerated without bail, don't you know, before the trials.
Right.
And they had a lot of time to contemplate in there, and they spent their time contemplating and writing about it.
Mr. Bridges?
It was written in between the time of the preliminary hearing and the main trial. So I think the harm there is that of Ivan's.
Ivan's, it sounds like it.
And he had a tendency to romanticize, and so the jail would look like a penitentiary. And it's a good story.
How much of this did you write, Mr. Pritchard? How much of the striker's account? Did you write any of it?
Very little. I had very little time there to write. Maybe it's back in here.
Well, he wrote the speech.
The speech, I know, yes. But oh, yes. About the rest of it. How long were you in the prison, Mr. Pritchard?
Oh, I was in several. In Calgary, the city jail, and then the mounted police, so they could allow me to shave. Mm-hmm. And in the Calgary jail, they wouldn't even give you a knife to cut your meat with in whatever came as dinner. But in the mounted police, they took me out there so I'd get a good bath and a shave, and they let me in the bathroom mm-hmm. with a full razor. You know, and you couldn't cut your throat in the city jail, but you could do it in the other.
Maybe
also,
maybe.
The window was open and you could jump out.
They trusted you.
Then they came and said, are you ready to go? And I said, I'm ready. Well, they weren't ready. They were playing cards. So I sat down and watched them
maybe
play cards.
Maybe they believed your own own story about you and thought you were a very violent man.
I remember those boys. They said, well, how would you like a ride around the city? So I had a ride around the city before I took back to...
Well, this
that
was
great. Let me see where I am.
The RCMP
now.
Grey Line Tour?
Eh?
Was this the RCMP Grey Line Tour?
And there, just
yes.
In regard to your first point, Mr. Fast, who wrote it? There were also several excerpts from the Daily Strike Bulletin, which was printed. And those could have been members of the strike committee. They could have been contributed by what you would call worker correspondence.
Right.
But they do all reflect the whole spirit of the strike. Mm-hmm. That's what's so marvelous about the book, is the spirit rather than the writing itself. Yeah. The spirit of defiance, the spirit of conviction, the spirit of social history. I think probably this is more a book of social history than of anything else, because it views Winnipeg from the viewpoint of the working people of that city.
I think you mentioned in your introduction something about this being a watershed of the social movement in Canada, and I think that's where its real importance lies right now. Mr. Pritchard?
Well, answering your question, Doctor, page 223 mm-hmm. of Mr. Penner's book, The Crown's Case, and right on through here, dealing with all the material that was banned, which included Gilbert and Sullivan's operas mm-hmm. and fragments of science by Tyndall.
That's certainly subversive.
Darwin's, this is what the blanket mm-hmm. did. Mm-hmm. That censorship, when it goes crazy. Well, right from there, then I recognize the, as I say,
your own verbal
fine
architecture.
The Italian hand that wrote these. Mm-hmm. Because I suppose then as now, I had the dubious reputation of spelling out long sentences and leaving everybody in suspense. When is the verb coming? You see, Mrs. Steve told me, Bill, she said, I just sat there shivering, but you came up. You had
You're
a predicate.
To an English professor now.
You never failed them. The verb always came.
I don't know. But that's there. That's it. And it's there.
Mr. Pritchard, would you say that this description of the strike is essentially correct?
As given by
right,
the...
as given by the strike.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. The facts are there. It may be in skeleton form. Mm-hmm. The facts are there.
Mr. Penner, how do you feel?
Well, I feel that it certainly closes the gap mm-hmm. in the published material on the strike. And I feel that it presents the striker's case in a way that has not been hitherto presented.
It is, after all, one side of the story, isn't it?
It's
which
one,
adds to the total picture.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes.